Baptist Church, a church on the way to God's heart, presents a message for your life. Get ready and take notes, because God wants to speak to you today. And now, Pastor David Rodriguez.
Have you ever been hiking, or at least walking some trails out there? Have you ever been somewhere? Last summer, we went on a family vacation to Tennessee, North Carolina, all the Smoky Mountains, and my wife is always like, let's stop and walk. And we decided to finally, I just kept skipping, you know. Every time it's like, oh, there's a trail right there, there's people walking. I'm like, yeah, let's go to the next one. I didn't want to walk. And I just kept going, you know. I mean, we're riding in a brand new car up the mountains, and I'm driving. I'm having a great time. I don't need to get off and walk. This is the trail, the road, and I'm on this sled, you know. I'm just, wow, I'm having fun. Well, finally, stop. Okay, I'll stop. So we stop. My God, I should have stopped at the first trail. It was probably 10 times shorter. And we went on that trail, and we walked and walked. It took 2 hours to walk it and come back, okay? So needless to say, I decided to drive them about 2 hours without stopping. Then God had me walking for 2 hours nonstop after that. But if you've ever been hiking or one of these trails or anything like that, or, you know, you're in the wilderness like John is every day of the week, you know, out there with the gators and stuff, you find yourself probably in some places where there's a fork in the road, you know. Hey, where do you go, right? Can you think about that for a second? Think about you're going on a trip and you're hiking, and when you get all of a sudden to the fork on the road or on the trail, you're like, okay, that looks like it leads somewhere down the cliff or something. We don't know where we're going with that. But this one seems to go up and who knows where. I don't know where I'm going now. My phone's not working. I don't have my GPS. Nothing's going. I mean, what am I going to do? All of a sudden, you look and you try and you see that the trail disappears. You don't know where it's going either way. So what do? You're faced with choices, right? So what are your choices then? You see, one trail might be right, the other one might be wrong, but you don't know. So you have some choices. What choices could you make? Say, well, I can go down this path, and who knows what, I might end up at the bottom of the mountain very quickly. But I might just go up here, and I don't see where that's going, and that's not going to take me anywhere. So you have the choice whether you go down or you go up, or maybe you just stand there, not go anywhere, and wait till somebody comes and tells you where to go or what to do. You stand there alone with no knowledge, just your gut, trusting and saying, okay, so where do I go? What do I do? I mean, I know this is kind of maybe a little ridiculous, what I'm telling you. You know, but turning back is going to be counterproductive. You know, I mean, you want to get to where you're going anyway. And if you sit down and just wait, it might not be a good option. Nobody else might come for a while, right? So all of a sudden you find yourself that you don't know where to go. And I don't know about you, but there are many times in my life when I find that I don't know what to do or where to go. Making decisions, it's not necessarily easy. And in life, we get into these mazes that we just don't know where to go. We see a wall and we're like, okay, so we turn right or left, or what do I do? And you can tell how we have depended now on technology so much, right? I mean, remember the days when it used to be like, okay, so I'm going to come and visit you. I don't know where you live. You couldn't tell that person, hey, text me the address. I'll get there. Yeah, sure. Right? I don't know about you, but I used to carry one of those big paper maps on my glove compartment. Did you? Right? It helped. Some people laugh at it, but it did help, right? Didn't it? Oh, man, especially when you're driving and you pull it out and you're still driving. Oh, right? No, you have somebody pull it out for you, or you have it laid on there, and you're just like, and people thought, you know, distractions came with the phone. Oh, no, it came with that big map. And then the letters were this big, right? But you had to find your way. You couldn't just tell the person, hey, text me the address, right? Isn't it so convenient? You tell somebody, hey, I need to go to your house, so text me your address, and you just tap on it. And the phone tells you, and the phone says, turn right. Make a U-turn. You're going the wrong way, right? It's amazing. And I wish life decisions, you know, were that easy. I mean, people are making it that easy. I mean, now you just call Siri or Alexa or Google. Some people even change the thing and make it, you know, whatever voice they like it, right? You know, you can, and I know that I know some marriages that get in trouble for that. You know, the man gets his GPS and he starts programming it. He changes the voice to this beautiful woman's voice. And the wife is like, what's your problem, man? Right? Now, I'm serious. I'm serious. People get jealous about that stuff. You got to be careful. But neither Siri or Alexa or Google or whatever you want to call her or him, we don't even know who or what they are. We face uncertainties and we need to make decisions in life. And it's difficult. Throughout your trajectory, throughout your journey in life, this progress, this actually, has anybody ever read the book, The Pilgrim's Progress? Or isn't it great? It's awesome. It talks, I mean, this is the journey of the Christian life with all the different aspects. It's amazing. If you haven't read the book, there's a whole movie out there about it. Back in the 1990s, somebody decided to make a modern movie out of it. It's kind of cheesy, but it conveys the message. Right, and you can actually watch it if you want, The Pilgrim's Progress. But if you can get your hands on that book and read it, I have it. I'm not going to let you borrow it. Just letting you know, right off hand. You go get it. And it's a great lesson, you know, of making choices in life. And sometimes the decisions we make, while they may be difficult because we know that they all have consequences, but the thing is that consequences affect other people. So a lot of times when we make decisions, we just can't think about ourselves. We have to make decisions based on how they affect us, other people, and the will of God in our lives. Now, that's the difficult part when you think, well, if I only knew what God's will for me is every single time I'm making a decision, this life would be easy, right? Everything would be really easy. But you see, sometimes in life, you'll feel like there are no good options as you try to make decisions. But when we see the life of Paul and we see all of the struggles he went through, you can say and you can actually tell that he had to make some tough decisions. And in instances, he counted on the Spirit's voice to be right behind him, tell him, don't go there. I mean, what would you, don't go there. Okay, I won't go there. That easy, right? But there were times where he actually went to places or did things or made decisions that were strictly and purely out of logic, like you and I do, what is logical to do this or not to do that and stuff like that. And you see, I want to watch with you this clip that we're going to watch. And in this clip, of course, there's the persecution that's happening in Rome. They're having a really hard time. People are getting killed. And there are some friends of Paul or Aquila and Priscilla. And this couple is trying to, you know, what are we going to do? Are we going to stay here? Are we going to leave? Do we keep fighting? Do we just give up? And they're hiding and they're trying to make it happen and trying to put the gospel out there. And you could probably understand how difficult it must have been for them to make the decision. You know, have you ever heard it? Should I stay or should I go? You know, sometimes you got to ask that question.
Quilla, I woke up, you weren't there.
I couldn't sleep.
Luke's back. He's safe.
Good. That's good.
We've loved this city as our own.
Only see what it's become. Nero's wrong. Nero's madness.
When he pass, he can't be emperor forever.
Many more people will die before then. This decision weighs heavily on me. I receive no wisdom in prayer. In staying, we put the lives of all our brothers and sisters under this roof in danger.
And if we go, how many people that rely on us do we condemn to a terrible fate? Christ was clear when he said he was sending us out amongst the wolves.
He also told us to be as wise as serpents.
And harmless as doves. As Paul has said, we must each make our own decision.
We must each make our own decision. You know, there are times when you're left alone with your decisions, and it's up to you. Once again, I say, it's very seldom that you're going to hear that still small voice behind your ear saying, do this. I don't know about you, but I don't hear that voice very often. But sometimes I do. Sometimes you just hear it inside and say, oh, don't go there, right? But there are many choices that I have to make based on what? And that's what I want to talk to you about. The simplest things are sometimes the most important things. In order to make good decisions, we just need to follow the simple things that we know that are proven to work. To do exactly what God wants us to do, then we just need to do exactly what he has told us to do. That doesn't sound like much, right? Well, in order for you to accomplish God's will, you got to find his will. And there are some simple steps that we could take to find God's will. You know, when he said, you know, we need to be as wise as serpents, you know. But then she says, we need to be harmless like doves. So which one is it? How about both? How about both? That's the difficult thing. But I want you to think about this because most of us are facing decisions each and every day that may not be life-threatening. Sometimes you just make trivial decisions, very easy to make or maybe even difficult, but not so important. They're not going to have some great consequences. But there might be some big decisions that you need to make in your life. So you need to know how to discern and how to make sure that you make a wise decision. What does it look like when I know what God's will is? And you see, as followers of Jesus, I want to make sure that you and I know what God's will is for our lives and that we're aligned with his purpose. And we do that through decision making. And what do? We go to the Word, right? And I'm getting ahead of myself now. But you see, sometimes I want you to think of this because what they're facing is that sometimes we see God's universal will, let's just say. You see, we see God's general and universal will. Well, God wants us to do right. Anybody agree with that? Amen. God wants us to do right. But what is the right thing to do? That's the problem. That we're always so focused. Sometimes we get so focused and so bogged down by the specific will of God that we tend to ignore the universal will of God. Sometimes God tells us, you need to do the right thing. And you're thinking, but what is the right thing? Which right thing? Let's just say that. Which one of the right things? And God says, you choose. Which one? Wow, that makes it difficult. Because if you're like me, I'd rather God just tell me exactly what to do, when to do it, how to do it, and whom to do it with. Right? That makes it so easy. But sometimes God says, just do the right thing, and you've got to figure out what the right thing is to do at that particular time. And it's difficult. It's difficult. We may not hear that audible voice, but there is a voice that we can hear The voice of God. Look, remember, and we all know Romans chapter 12 and verses 1 and 2 says, therefore, says Paul, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual or rational service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may what? Check this out. So that you may confirm, so that you may prove, so that you may know what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. So you're going to have to do something up here. You see, a lot of times we just go with what's here. Let me tell you, what would you rather trust, your heart or your mind? Your mind, thank you. Quickly, yeah, I like that. Your mind. The heart is deceiving. Now, you can let somebody deceive you in your mind too, but think about it. And that's why we wrestle, but that's where it starts. It's the renewing of the mind, not the renewing of your heart. Your heart is renewed as your mind is renewed first. I think it comes like that in the sequence. You know, you get convicted in your mind, then your heart follows. So, Paul gives general guidance. He just says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. But he doesn't tell you specifically. He says, then you'll know the perfect will of God, what's acceptable, what is good for you, and all of that. But inside of that, there are so many choices. And he just says, just worship God. Give your mind to God. Just do what is rational before God. Just do what is right before God. Oh my goodness, but how do I do this? How do I know? Well, think about it. It starts with relationships. Now, some of you are married here, but you don't need to be married. Sometimes you just know as children. Now, for those of you who are not married, those of you who are single, tell me if it's true or not. That there are certain situations that if I say, well, what if your mom and dad were in this situation? You say, oh, I know exactly what they would say. I know exactly what they would do. Right? How about your spouse? I bet you I can give you some situations and you'll be like, oh, I know exactly what my husband would do. I know exactly what she would say. Why? Why is that? Relationship. Relationship. So when it all comes down, what is it that helps us discern the will of God? It's relationship. It's knowing Him, right? That's how you know what people would do and what decisions they would make in a certain situation. When you get close to them and when you get to know them. See, when you have long time experience with someone who's been making decisions around you, you get to see their patterns. You get to see what they believe. You get to see what they are. And you get to see, you get to know them in such intimacy that you know what they would do. You know, you go to a restaurant with your spouse, and if you go to the restroom, when you come back, your favorite drink is on the table. Right? Because they ordered it for you. Unless they're Ed. I'm just kidding, right? Right? Like, I ordered this for you. That's not what I wanted. Well, you're going to drink it now. Well, fine, I'll drink that. I'll have the Diet Coke and the regular Coke. Who cares? I took my medicine this morning anyway. But that's what I'm talking about. That's the kind of intimacy we're talking about between us and God in order to discern His will, just like a parent and a child, just like a married couple. You know, let me give you this example as far as general will and the specific will. How many of you want your kids to eat healthy, right? And you want them to snack healthy. Now, let me ask you something. If your kid says, okay, mom, okay, dad, I'm going to start snacking healthy, and they go to the fridge and you got carrots and cucumbers, they grab carrots, what do? Why didn't you take some cucumbers? No. You say, well, at least he didn't go for the chocolate cake. Right? He had a choice. He had carrots and cucumbers. You know what? He can have all the cucumbers in the world and leave the carrots, and you're going to be like, at least he's eating cucumbers, right? So you see that? We're talking about the general. So there could be good choices among your choices, more than one, you know. It's simple. See, you want your kids to exercise, right? Whether they do it by playing soccer or tennis or whatever, you don't care as long as they do exercise, right? And they don't hurt themselves. So that's what I'm talking about. Sometimes God gives us his universal or general will and says, here, do something about it. You're like, but which one is it specifically that you want me to do? And God's over there going like, well, I'm going to let you discover that as you go. Wow, what an amazing thing. But he's there with us all the way. So it is about relationships. Remember that we're not alone. Now, God, remember the disciples were so confused. Jesus is saying, I'm out of here. In chapter 14 of the Gospel of John, the Gospel according to John, chapter 14, Jesus tells them, you know what? I'm leaving. I'm out of here. And they're like, oh, where are you going? Can we go with you? He's like, I'm going to go, and I'm going to prepare a place for you and everything. And they're still going like, oh, my God, but what are we going to do? And this is what Jesus says in chapter 14 of John, verses 26 and 27. But the helper, check this out. Not hamburger helper, the helper, the counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to remembrance all that I say to you. You see that? He's saying, I'm going to give you a promise. And the promise I'm giving you is a person, is a relationship, is someone to guide you. The Holy Spirit will be with you. And then he says, peace I leave with you. Peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. I'm giving you someone so you can count on them to make decisions, to show you the way, to remind you of the truth. Read, and if you want, please with me, read Galatians chapter 5 and verse 25. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Now, that's in the New American Standard Bible, right? But I want to read it to you from another version. And it says, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Keep in step. If you ever walked along somebody, you know, if you ever marched next to somebody, if you ever been in the military, you know you need to be in step, because if not, you're going to go down and the whole platoon's going to go down if you're out of step. If you miss step, man, you got to get back in step, John Brown. That's what I'm talking about, right? Somebody's got to lead the stepping, and everybody else got to be in the same step. Now, I it's so funny when you see, you know, couples, when you know, they're walking and but they're just so in love, you know, they walk all uncomfortable and stuff, and sometimes they just can't get their step right. It just feels weird and looks weird, right? You know, but you have to be in line and step with the Spirit if you want to walk with the Spirit step by step. And it's by grace that we do this. So remember that. And that's when you start seeing all of that fruit in your life, then love, peace, joy, patience, you know, kindness, goodness. And all of a sudden your decisions will be wiser. So, I mean, does that mean that there are no wrong choices? I think you know the answer to that. I think we know better. There are many, many wrong choices that we make. But yet inside of God's will, there may be more than one thing or more than one choice you can make that may not be bad. Look, in Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 21, the prophet is speaking to the people of Jerusalem and saying, you know what? I'm rebuking you. You're wrong. You're wrong. You're wrong. But I'm going to tell you there's also hope. You see, there is hope. He's calling them out for their disobedience and telling them to make the right choices. But he's also saying, not only you are making the wrong choices, you can make the right choices, and there is help for you. There is hope. It says there, your ears will hear a word behind you. This is the way. Walk in it whenever you turn to the right or to the left. Do you see that? I want you to see this, because it doesn't just say one direction. Whether you turn to your right or turn to your left, there will be somebody guiding you, and you can count on that. That is relationship. The Holy Spirit, he wants to help you. He wants to guide you. He wants to lead you. But make it more practical. Let's think about three things that the Holy Spirit uses. to help us, or four things on this journey. Number one, God's word. Oh, my God. Can we repeat that, Jay, again, all over, every Sunday, right? God's word, man. Every time we talk about this, God's word. What do you have to do? Read your Bible. Is that basic? Is that simple? Yet we have to be reminded of it all the time. Why? Because the Bible is our standard for guidance about God's will. You want to know what God's will is? Hello? Right here. Right? Right there. In Psalm 119 and verse 105, your word is a lamp unto my feet, a light on my path. And what is a light there for? It's to show you the path, to help you, to guide you, to tell you where the obstacles are, to tell you where the clear path is, to tell you and show you where to walk and how to walk about that path. You see, the Bible is the light that shines upon our thought life, upon our minds. It brings clarity. And that clarity helps us to see the truth, right? Light shines upon us, and it helps us, and it reveals the truth. See, that's why women, they like mirrors that magnify. But even mirrors that magnify won't do the trick, so now they got to put LED lights all around them, right? So when you look, whoa, I see the truth now, right? Light shines, and it shows you the truth. Many of the women didn't like what I said. Men enjoyed it, though. So you see throughout the Bible, in the Old Testament and New Testament, you'll see examples of people. Examples of people like David, like Esther, like Jeremiah, like Timothy, like Paul. And we can learn from him. That's why, you see, a lot of times you may look for guidance in the Word. And you may not find the exact word to tell you, do this. But then when you start seeing what people did, well, see, I look at Esther, and Esther did not fear because she trusted God. So I need to trust God. You see, David saw a giant, but he knew that God is greater than that giant. I need to believe that in my life. Sometimes my obstacles may be big. The decisions I'm facing are so hard, but yet I know that God is greater than that. And with little things, God can do great things. With a little stone, he killed a great giant. So you may not get the word directly to you, just what to do. But when you see the examples of people and how they acted, all of a sudden it helps you. The Bible is our standard for guidance about God's will. But also, so when you look at it, what do? You rely upon his commands, his promises, his truth. You see, you look in the Bible, and like I said, you may find some direct commandments. Thou shalt not kill, so you don't kill, right? That's a simple command. But then you look at promises. Well, he said he would provide, so I need to act. I need to make decisions that are going to prove that he provides. And then I look at the truth. It's all truth. So what do? Then I trust. You see, if you can't find something directly in the Bible that tells you exactly what to do, then think about the old age question, what would Jesus do? And that's been criticized. But it's true. We need to think in our lives, what would Jesus do in this situation? What would a good Christian do in this situation? What am I supposed to do? So be reminded of his promises. You see, don't you ever, ever, ever forget that God's word is the source. God's word has everything that we need. I think I told you this story already, but I just have to tell it to you again. There was a long time ago, an old man in New Jersey. His sister had died. No, his aunt, I'm sorry. His aunt had died. And when they went to check on her will and everything, and it was read, she left him in charge of her funeral and everything, all of her affairs, to my nephew. Marshall was his name. To my nephew Marshall, I leave everything I own and the responsibility to carry out with my funeral and everything, blah, 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 blah. And he also gets to keep my precious Bible. The man went about and said, okay. So he took all the money, paid for the funeral, paid for her bills, did everything he could, and all he had left was a couple of $100. He had nothing. I mean, what do we do? So he said, you know what? I'm just going to pack everything and leave, you know, everything that I can, whatever. He took the Bible and packed it and left. And after he left, he decided one day to look at the Bible. When he opened it, there was a bunch of certificates in there. Money. Thousands and thousands of dollars of money in there that he didn't think he ever had. You see, there are treasures in the Word of God. Now, hold on, let me check this one just in case. I didn't find any. But you know, there are treasures in that Word for every single need and every choice you make in life. So go to the Bible every time. You can't go wrong. Amen? All right. What else? Prayer. Oh, my God. Again, Pastor? We talking about reading the Bible and prayer? Don't we do that like every Sunday? Man, you're repeating yourself. Yeah, prayer. It is so important. If you want to know God's will, who do you ask? God. You want to know what I want for lunch? I guess not, because nobody's asked me. But when we're done, you can ask me, and I'll tell you what I want for lunch. But ask me. Don't ask anybody else, right? You want to know God's will? You ask God. Simple. Dialogue with him. Communicate with him. Talk to him. Bring all your questions, all your needs, and he acknowledge his leadership. Accept his leadership, and he will help you discern what is the wisest decision. Paul himself spoke about this in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 7. He said, you know what? Be anxious for nothing. Verse 6 first. Let me see verse 6 and then 7. Be anxious for nothing. For what? Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. You see that? I want you to see this. Be anxious for nothing. First of all, it says, don't worry. Pray and ask and be grateful. You see all the elements of prayer here? You just pray, you trust, you thank him, and you bring your requests. Make it known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension or understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And you see, when your mind and your heart are focused upon God and his will, you can rest assured that you will have peace. You want to have peace in your life? You need his will in your life. Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 3. This is one of my wife's favorite verses. She's kept it on the refrigerator for years. She took it off the other day. Now she's making our refrigerator a prayer wall. Okay? A prayer wall. But Isaiah chapter 26 verse 3 says, you will keep in perfect peace all who trust you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you. You fix your mind and your heart on Jesus and you will have peace. You will have peace. And when you have peace, you make better decisions, don't you? Then you can go step by step and trust in God. So you know what? And then, of course, when you pray, we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, it changes our perspective and refocuses our attention on what or who is most important. You see, a lot of times we think we're so important and we're important to God. A lot of times we think that things that we have or that we want are so important, and they may be. But the important thing is God and God's will. You want to know who's important? God. You want to know what's important? God's will. Simple as that. So don't just pray for guidance. Pray for wisdom when you pray. You see, okay, so God, I need to know what to do here. God, I really need to know what to do here. God, can you just tell me what to do here? Okay, Lord. Are you going to tell me what to do here? All right. You're not telling me what to do here. Okay, God, I guess you're not going to tell me what to do here. So give me wisdom. You see that? You hear that? Sometimes you're not going to get the straight up answer and the easy way out and what to do, but you pray to God and say, well, give me wisdom then to make the decision. There are occasions in which You're going to have to make the decision on your own, and you're just going to have to exercise wisdom. How many of you need wisdom? I'm so glad most of you raised your hand, because we all do. Anyway, we all do. Now let's test this. Let's see. Let's see if you need wisdom or not, and let's see if you really are wise. Okay, I'm going to talk in terms of a man, but ladies, you can change this and put it in your mind the way you need to. Okay, so big guy, you get up in the morning and you go into church. All right, you're a single man. There's a certain lady out there that you really, really like. If you're a girl, think about a boy that you like, right? But you go into church that morning, and you get all ready. You get dressed. You have a sports car, you know, one of those with two seats, just for you and your future loved one. That's it. And it's a convertible, all right? But as soon as you walk out there to your garage and you open the garage, you're like, oh, my God, it's pouring down. It's raining. Oh, that's not going to stop me from going to church. You see, I can put the top up. And you got the top on, and you go out in your sports car. Oh, my God, guys, right? You know, they have that lean when they drive, right? And you're driving down the road, and right when you get near the bus stop, you see some people. There's three people huddling under one umbrella. Oh, my God. And when you look, it's Miss Ruthie. Anybody here know Miss Ruthie? You know, the old lady that comes to the Spanish service, been here like since Noah, you know? And you see Miss Ruthie. She's under the umbrella. And you're like, oh, no, Miss Ruthie. But, you know, she's so stubborn. She knows better. She knows people can give her a ride. But no, she wants to take the bus to church. And then you see, well, who's with her? Oh, my God, that's Dr. So-and-so. I remember when he did surgery on my son. He saved his life. Oh, my God, I owe this man so much. But wait a second. Whoa, that's the other person. That's my bride-to-be, my brother. That's her. Oh, my God. They're all going to church, and they're all getting wet, but there's only one umbrella. I got 3 seconds to make a split decision. Who do you put in your car? Who do you give a ride to? Miss Ruthie? The doctor who saved your son's life, or your future, the person you're in love with. You see, you need wisdom. You know what you do? You get out your car, and you grab Miss Ruthie, you put her in the car, then you give the keys to the doctor, say, take her to church. I'm staying with her. Some of you are like, I don't get it. You need wisdom. See what I'm talking about? We need to pray. And sometimes even a 3-second prayer before you make a split decision may just save you. It may really, really, really help you. James chapter 1 and verse 5. The Bible says, God wants to give us wisdom. Did you know that? Check it out. But if any one of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all. Who gives to whom? All. Why all? Because all need wisdom. And not only what? He gives it how? Generously. Generously and without reproach. And it will be given to him. You ask and he shall give. Amen? So now you know who do you get. Well, now go get a sports car. What the heck? Yeah. You'll be able to give everybody you need to a ride. How about the next one? Wise counsel. Wise counsel. You need counseling. So do I, right? We need counsel. We need good counsel. But you need to surround yourself then with spirit-filled people. You see, you have to surround yourself with spirit-filled people, because I told you already from the beginning that making decisions is about relationship. Relationship to God and to others. You can't leave others out and make all your decisions on your own. That's why people are placed around you. That's why God places good people, spirit-filled people around you in order to help you make wise decisions. Part of living in relationship with God is living in relationship with other people. You don't want to live life with Christ apart from others. You just can't. You know, a lot of times we in our culture, in the Western mind and thinking, we think individually. Well, salvation is individual. Yes, it is. Well, you make your own decisions. Yes, you do. You choose your own path. Yes, you do. But we forget that when the Bible speaks of Christians, most of the time, if not 80 to 90% of the time, refers to us collectively, as a body, as a church, as a family. I'm telling you, if you look in the Bible, most of the time when it's referred to Christians, it refers to us as a family, as a church, as a body, as a group, collective. Not just individuals. The church is a body made of people. And we all have different strengths and weaknesses and abilities. And we all have different experiences with age. That's why it's so important to surround ourselves with people who know you and people whom you may know that have wisdom and can pour some wisdom in your life. This can come through good friends, through family, maybe even your pastor, who knows, or your teacher or your leader or, you know, someone that can help you. I also read the story about a 16-year-old kid named William. He left home and he wanted to seek a fortune. He wanted to make it out there. He had everything he owned in a little bundle and he carried it with himself. He didn't have much. And one day, as he was getting on a boat, he met the boat's captain and he told him the story. He told the captain the story about his family being so poor that he had to go out there and do something. And the only thing he had learned in life was to make candles and soap. That's all he knew. That's all he knew, how to make candles and soap. The captain, who was a Christian, knelt right beside him and said, "Kid, I'm going to pray for you." And in his prayer, he said, "William, someone someday will be the leading soap maker in New York, and it could be you. Be a good man. Give your heart to Christ. Pay the Lord all that belongs to him. Make an honest soap. Give a full pound, and I'm certain you'll be prosperous and a rich man." And this young man, 16-year-old, was William Colgate. Have you ever used a Colgate product? There you go. He prospered beyond his wildest dreams. And he was actually able to give millions and millions of dollars to the kingdom of God. You just need to listen to other people that speak into your life. You don't need anyone's help to make a fool of yourself, right? I do that all on my own. You don't need any help to make a fool of yourself. But you can get help to actually be wise. Proverbs chapter 12 in verse 15, Proverbs 12:15 says, "The way of the fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man is he who listens to counsel." Listening. Once again, we talk about listening. I'm not going to go there, Linda, okay? You see, people don't like it when other people tell them what to do, right? You like people telling you what to do? No, you don't. You're a rebel. So am I. I don't like anybody telling me what to do. We talk so much about, oh, no, you know, the Bible says to seek good counsel. And in the counsel of a multitude of counselors, there is wisdom, the Bible says. And God said, come on, just shut up, David. You don't like listening to other people. But we need to. It gives us wisdom. Now, wise counsel won't always tell you what to do, but it might shed some light on how to approach it, right? So when we look in the Bible, we look for principles. We look for things that are show us what the truth is and how to process and how to make decisions. You see, someone said this: a wise man learns from the experiences of others. An ordinary man learns from his own experience, but a fool never learns from anybody's experience. We need to learn from other people. And last but not least, practice, 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 practice. In order for you to take steps, in order for you to walk with God, you have to take step after step after step after step. That means you need to practice decision making. You're going to have to make decisions. You can't just sit there and wait for somebody else to make them for you. But what I'm telling you is then don't give up. Just keep trying, for God will be with you every step of the way. He will be with you every step of the way. He promises to be with us. That's why Jesus said, I'm sending you the counselor. I'm sending you someone to help you, the helper, the Holy Spirit. He will be with you. And Jesus even promised, I will be with you till the ends of the earth. No matter where you go, I will be with you every single day of your life. Now, there will be consequences of every choice and action that we make. And hopefully, we always hope for good consequences and good choices, right? But we need to be drawing upon the Word of God and prayer and other people in order to make those decisions. And sometimes we may realize that we didn't make the best decisions. If you're like me, I find myself regretting decisions that I have made in life. But then you have to understand, you can correct. There is hope. It's not the end of the world yet. You can correct things. You can start by repenting. You can start by asking God to forgive you for bad decisions. You can start by asking God to bless those around you who have been cursed with your bad decisions. And you think, what? You mean I've cursed other people? Yeah, other people have suffered because of your decisions, and those are consequences. And sometimes they might be very, very difficult. But I'm going to tell you something. It's okay. You just keep walking. Take every step. Keep practicing prayer. Keep practicing the Word of God. Keep practicing good counsel. Keep practicing looking for wisdom, because God will give it to you. You can trust Him. He's in control. Even when you do the wrong thing, He can still do the right thing. Have you ever heard the phrase, right? God makes miracle out of our messes. You make a mess and God makes a miracle. He's that awesome and He's that powerful. In spite of your decision, God still makes great things. See, the Apostle Paul faced decisions. Aquila and Priscilla faced decisions. And some of them were planned. Some of them, they just planned to go on a missionary trip. They planned and they went. But some of them had to be made right on the spot. But all we have to do is count on God first. And we can trust Him. Romans chapter 8, verse 28, the famous verse that everybody quotes. And we know that all things, God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. You see that? See, God works things in our lives. Even when they go wrong, He works things, all things. But the clauses are at the end. For those who love Him and for those who are called according to His purpose. Have you been called? You are called according to God's purpose. Does He love you? Yes. Do you love Him? Yes. So if you do, then don't stop wrestling. Just keep trying. Keep making decisions and keep trying to look for wisdom. You see, God has the answer to everything. He will make a clear path for you. Have you ever heard the song, God Will Make a Way, where you think there is no way? That is a truth that is in the Bible. You see, so we need to hope and pray. In Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, it says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge Him and He will make your path, how? Straight. So you thank Him. You acknowledge Him. You acknowledge the work that He's doing in you. And He will help you make decisions step by step. So, where have your decisions taken you in life? Where are you right now? I don't know. But you do. Are you following step by step the voice of God? Are you walking in His will or your own? Are you walking in what you know He expects from you or on what you want for your life? And sometimes we just need to get this word. No matter where your decisions have taken you, Maybe you're on a path to success, but maybe you're on a path to destruction, and you know it. You know you haven't arrived at the right place yet. Then, let me tell you something. You are at the right place right now. That is before God, and you can make things right with Him by asking Him for wisdom, by seeking in His Word, by praying to Him and expecting Him to help you and to count on those around you that can help you be strengthened so that you may also see the purpose of God in your life. Is there hope? Yes, there is hope. The Bible says that Jesus came to save that which was lost. And right now you may be facing a fork on the road and you don't know where to go. Right now you may be going on a path and you don't know where it's leading you. Right now you may need some direction. Well, pull out your GPS. It's right here. Pull out God's Word. Pull out His will and you will find which way to go.
Horeb Baptist Church, a church on the way to God's heart presented. A message for your life. If this message has been an impact to your life, or you would like more information of previous sermons and information about our church, contact us at www.horebnola.com.